You know, by August of 1945, much of Germany lay in smoking, twisted rubble, and you probably well recall seeing the newsreel footage like I did, or the oft-repeated television documentary showing the cities of the German heartland as gutted, devastated ghost cities. Essen, Cologne, Mainz, Wuppertal, Dusseldorf, Koblenz, Berlin, all lay in stench-ridden ruin. Shocked military observers, seeing the carnage firsthand, said Germany would never rise again, and even Sir Winston Churchill said it would take 50 years. But within only months of that surrender, the Western occupational authorities began to realize that something was not right in Eastern Europe. We suddenly began to understand a little bit of what President Franklin Delano Roosevelt had given away at Yalta and Potsdam. We now began to understand that American armies had deliberately been held back in order to allow the Soviet armies to reach Berlin coincidentally with American forces. It was all part of the plan. According to deals made in secret that had no U.S. information being given, no general public information was made available, and no U.S. congressional approval was forthcoming, secret deals conceded to the Soviet Union all of Eastern Europe. And the stage was now set for the next several decades of world history, including what we're seeing right now today. And believe it or not, you can trace much of that right back to the pre-World War II days, that is the pre-conclusion days of August of 1945, to Yalta and Potsdam. All, of course, under the guise of attacking colonialism, the Soviet Union has managed to expand into the greatest colonial empire the world has ever known. But during that period of three decades, she has attacked repeatedly imperialism and colonialism. Yet the Soviet Union had expanded into all of Eastern Europe, had gobbled up portions of real estate that really belonged to the Koreans, as we so well know, which resulted in the Korean War, had declared war at the last few days before we had Japan beaten to her knees with the dumping of two atomic bombs at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, yet the Russians jumped in, declared war at the last moment when the Japanese were practically prostrate anyway, and grabbed off Kamchatka and other territorial acquisitions they desperately wanted from the Japanese. And, of course, all of Manchuria along with it. And so went the world. Then we began to realize there would be a Cold War, and along came Berlin Wall and Checkpoint Charlie, and the cold truth finally began to dawn on Western citizens, but it was way too late. You know, it was no wonder that high-ranking Nazi Wehrmacht officers were shocked when the Americans and British turned down their offer, because, believe it or not, high-ranking officers in the German army actually believed the United States and Western allies would immediately enlist the aid of the remaining German forces to conquer Russia. They offered their troops and their materiel and said, "When do we attack the Soviet Union?" And they were amazed when their arms were quietly taken away from them and they were hustled off to prison camps, because they were really convinced that the Western planners saw the threat of Soviet domination. And they were really convinced that Russia was a common enemy of Britain, America, and Germany. Well, we didn't see it that way. And so as the truth gradually emerged, a new chill settled over the Western occupational authorities. Russia now had the largest standing army the world had ever known. Further, the Soviets had captured large numbers of the most important German scientists, and in the rape of Berlin and other major cities, took the whole telephone system, and so much equipment, probably into the hundreds of millions of dollars worth, plus these scientists that we knew that the Soviets would soon have their own atomic bomb and the means to deliver nuclear weapons half a world away in about 90 minutes' time. How to withstand this growing Soviet threat? The policy of containment. Behind the domino theory of the Eisenhower era emerged. The way to contain the threat was first through NATO, and secondly through CETO. There was the bamboo curtain in Southeast Asia, and communism clamped down upon the vast void that was China, and is only now beginning to open up a few cracks to let us look inside. But you know, those pragmatists in that government were correct. The domino theory was quite correct. But the policy of containment, that is, containing the spread of communism where it was by 1946, has not worked. It has spread like Carcinoma, melanoma, I suppose, like a runaway cancer all around the world, including now a belt of nations completely across Africa, incursions into the Mediterranean, the Indian Ocean, Southeast Asia, into the Western Hemisphere and Cuba and other countries in the domino theory is now operating in an area where formerly we had what was called the Monroe Doctrine, which has been quietly buried in government paper and never mentioned again. Because we have been both unwilling or unable, maybe both, to kick communism out of the Western Hemisphere. And so as that truth emerged, a new truth began to emerge alongside it. Germany must be rebuilt, and very quickly. Now, none of the Western allies wanted to see Germans with guns in their hands marching again, but they had to face the pragmatic realities that Europe could not be defended without the Germans, and besides, the American public would far rather see Germans facing Russians and dying thousands of miles away in Europe to defend Europe for American interests than we would to see our own American boys over there in the NATO armies facing those Warsaw Pact countries. A captured document that came to light in Madrid way back in the early 1950s revealed a secret plan by the German general staff that had largely gone underground, changed their identities, gone to other neutral countries like Norway, Sweden, over into Switzerland, down into Spain and Portugal, and especially the hotbed of Nazi activity in Uruguay and in Paraguay especially, and Argentina. And, of course, Adolf Eichmann, you know, is real, and Bormann was known and is known to be alive. That interesting document stated words to that same effect, that Western planners wistfully viewed divisions of German soldiers marching to the whims of the West, but they talked of how not one single German soldier was willing to shed his blood for Western desires and policies. It was quite a document. It was published in a book about that same period of time called Germany Plots with the Kremlin by the author T.H. Teetons, whom I have met, and is also the author of the New Germany and the Old Nazis. As Walter Lippmann put it back in about 1952, once we claimed we could not defend Europe without the Germans were once again in the driver's seat. Well, then came the so-called economic miracle, the famous Marshall Plan, wherein General George Marshall's name was given to the most massive giveaway program in all of history, the systematic distribution of over $12 billion in economic aid, and that was in the same period of 4 years in which I was in the Navy, 48 to 1952. And you know, $12 billion back during that time would be more like 40-some or $50 billion today. So I remind you that $12 billion was in 48, 49, and 50 dollars. That's a lot different from 1979, isn't it? And it wasn't just dollars that were given away to Western Europe, but it was some of the most fully automated, super sophisticated machinery and equipment, together with the technical experts that went along to show the Germans and the Dutch and the Belgians and the French how to run and how to operate that material. And so the so-called economic miracle, which was not really such a miracle as it was bought and paid for by the United States taxpayers. We bought and paid for our own Frankenstein monster. We lovingly put it together. We stuck the electrodes in its brain and we shot it full of energy. And now that giant is just beginning to stir. He is getting up off the table and has taken his first step toward his creator.